Several years ago, NPR's Margot Adler found out that one of her cousins, now 88 years old, had hidden from the Nazis in Amsterdam, just like Anne Frank. The revelation led Margot to seek out more information about her cousin's life.
I like to analyze what happens and to put that in writing. That gives you neatness in your head, and that's what I'm after.
That's my cousin, retired Judge Suzanne Hoogendijk at 87, speaking about why she loved being a judge. But delving into her personal past was another matter. About 3 years before that, I was sitting in a lovely house on the Brouwersgracht Canal. I'm with Suzanne, her three children, their husbands and wives, and a whole bunch of grandchildren, 16 of us in all. We were about to eat takeout Chinese food, which people do in Holland just like they do here in the States. Being visiting tourists, my husband, son, and I had just come from Anne Frank's house. At the mention of that, this matriarch of the family said, "You know, they make such a big thing about Anne Frank, such a big thing. But you know, hiding, it was boring." I'm shocked into silence for a moment. I had no idea. It took me several years to return to Holland, to sit down with my cousin, a recorder in hand. I started with that moment years ago, right before the Chinese food arrived.
When you said that, it was like, where did that come from?
I never talk about it because it is boring. You only fear that you were discovered and that it's not worthwhile talking about. Everybody writes about it. Everybody knows Anne Frank. So why should I add to those stories?
She doesn't want to discuss it. In the one page she has written about it, she describes it as nothingness. I turned myself off. Your single prescription for survival was to make yourself invisible and mute. She really doesn't want to say more.
You think, well, they took away 5 years of my life. I'm not spending 1 minute more on that period. That's why I don't want to talk about it. I have lost enough time on the Germans.
While her last name is Hoogendijk, her maiden name is Deutsch.
I married only to lose that name.
Because it's German. It means German.
Yes.
She's kidding, of course. Gradually, I learn a few more things. That she lived in three or four different places while underground, that she was 17 when she hid, a couple of years older than Anne Frank. She was 20 when she emerged. That she lived for 2 years with her mother in a room 2 by 3 meters. That she could never go out. That her family's savings were spent on the black market for food. And that her first boyfriend was executed. She has a photo of her class, the school she was forced to leave.
And I am not in that picture because I had to leave school like a Jewish child, which I didn't know I was before.
She didn't really know she was Jewish since she grew up totally assimilated in the Dutch world. That may seem surprising to some, but it's exactly how my father grew up in Austria, celebrating Christmas in a world with no Jewish resonance. When the war ended and she tried to resume her normal life in Amsterdam, she says she had a strong feeling she had to belong to a community.
It's in nature that you want to belong. And I went to the Jewish Student Association. I didn't feel at home at all. They all knew each other. They knew each other's families. They were rich.
But she still felt a connection to Jewish people. She eventually reconnected with her best friend from the Gentile school, but only after that friend married a Jewish man.
I feel that affinity with Jewish people. It doesn't mean that I belong to the circle of Jews.
On the family's recommendation, I visit Amsterdam's Resistance Museum, which documents Holland's opposition to the Nazis. There I learn that 25,000 Dutch Jews hid like Anne Frank, and 2/3 of them survived like my cousin. I learn that 105,000 Jews were deported by the Germans, and all but 5,000 of them died in the camps. So hiding gave you a better chance. When Suzanne looks back, she says it astonishes her that she found her way in life.
I'm amazed, because I was innocent. I knew nothing.
She had few people to talk to, no one her age with whom to compare stories. She had had no sexual experiences. After the war was over, she says,
I had a feeling of urge, and I went to bed with the first boy who was acceptable because I thought I have to catch up.
I wondered if that attitude of putting it all behind her allowed her to become a successful law professor and judge with 3 successful children. I wondered if she had always had a certain resilience. Her answer was matter of fact.
I think it's in your personality.
And yet she looks at her granddaughter, now about the same age she was when she was underground.
And I try to think how I was at her age. I'm at a loss. I was not free to be myself. I missed all those years of growing up, of being an adolescent.
Once she emerged, she studied and excelled and made a good life for herself in Amsterdam.
But that's the surface. I don't know what I would have become otherwise. I cannot understand why I didn't get more angry. I have a suspicion that this anger is hidden somewhere, but I don't know where.
She says she will never be a pacifist since she welcomed the Canadian liberators with their guns. Now 88, Suzanne Hoogendijk is beginning to write some of her own personal history. I asked her what she knows now that she didn't know growing up.
Oh, that's very easy. I know now that you have to accept, for instance, your partner, huh? That he is both things, good and bad. Yes, and not only morally good and bad, but that you can't have everything and that you have to adapt at what you can get. And when you are young, you cannot accept that.
Perhaps it's this attitude that has allowed retired Judge Suzanne Hoogendijk to end up with a lot. Margot Adler, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.